You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 464 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland, coming to you live here from State Farm Arena in the aftermath of what was a very, very lopsided loss for the Atlanta Hawks. In fact, this is one of those nights where, candidly, I'd like to come on and just say, this is an ugly one, let's just all forget it. But we will do our best to sort of paint this thing in the most accurate picture possible, talk all about it. And I was in the building, unfortunately, for this one. It's one of those games where the fourth quarter is almost meaningless entirely, but the Hawks did not play well, obviously, in this game. After the fact, Lloyd Pierce expressed, you know, he actually is pretty upbeat for the most part. He's very, very good with the media, but you could tell it's a little bit different on this night. The locker room was not a lot of fun after this game, whether it be veterans or young guys. There was some comments made apparently by Jeremy Lin to the team that Lloyd Pierce talked about. Nothing necessarily specific, but one of those things where Lin was able to inspire the team after the game with some comments about how he had this long recovery and thought that he may not ever play basketball again when it came to the NBA. So there's some takeaways here that might be inspiring for the Hawks, but on this particular night, the final score was 146-115, a 31-point loss, and it felt honestly worse than that. There was a chance that the Hawks could have lost by more than that and probably could have allowed 160 or so if the Kings had kept playing in the fourth quarter. It's one of those games where the Hawks just could not get stops and could not generate quality offense for the most part. Even if the shots were falling early on in this game, by the end they were not falling anymore, and that was kind of the story of what transpired here. So as we normally do, I will talk about the individual players later on in the podcast, but before we get to that, just some sort of a rundown of what transpired here from top to bottom. Coming into this game, the Kings had not won in Atlanta since 2006. They lost 11 straight games in Atlanta. That streak is now over, obviously. The Kings lost by 46 points last year. I can recall on this podcast sitting in pretty much this exact same spot, albeit in a less renovated building here. I remember sort of talking about that game after the fact, and the fact the Hawks won by 46 points. That was their biggest win of the season by far last season. And this year, they didn't lose by 46, but they lost by 31, and it kind of felt like 46. So a bit of synergy there with the way things have transpired over the last year. And by the way, the Kings, this is their fifth straight win for the Sacramento Kings, who are now 6-3. Pretty wild considering where they've been in the recent past. With that said, the beginning of this game was ugly for the Hawks from a turnover perspective. The Hawks committed 5 turnovers in the first 4:40 of the league, of the game. And entering this game, I should say, they were actually dead last in the league in turnover rate. That I'm sure did not improve based on this game. The Hawks did end up committing 22 turnovers by the end of this game, and that's not going to help anybody's overall rate stats. As you can hear, there's some Kings fans that are very happy to greet members of the Kings leaving the locker room here at this late hour. So hopefully you guys can still hear me in a normal way. With that said, obviously the turnovers were a problem early on. The other thing that was worth noting in the opening minutes was that Kevin Huerter got rolled up by Buddy Hield from behind going for a loose ball. A lot of controversy there. There were a lot of people on Twitter especially that were not happy with Buddy Hield. Huerter seemed to be okay in the locker room. He left the game with what the team was calling an ankle sprain, I believe it was called a lateral ankle sprain. He looked like he was walking gingerly in the locker room. No further update. I did ask Lloyd Pierce about that. He had not talked to Kevin or the trainers since the original diagnosis of that ankle sprain. In fact, they ruled him out for this game. So Huerter only played 1 minute. I'll be interested to see how the Hawks treat that. It doesn't seem like he'd be likely to play on Saturday based on the way that he was moving. In fact, they ruled him out, and of course, there's no reason to push him along too quickly, but that was sort of the other sort of very noteworthy thing from the first quarter was that he was unable to go after that, and it didn't look great. I will say that he seemed a little bit better than the actual, the first video that I saw did not look great for Huerter, but the ankle sprain is probably a good thing considering you kind of hope that it's only a normal run-of-the-mill ankle sprain. Might keep him out a couple games, but at the same time, we'll see how that looks moving forward. Elsewhere, the Hawks committed 8 turnovers in the first quarter. That was sort of a theme for the game, but they were sort of at their apex in terms of sort of giving the ball away in that first half, and that allowed sort of the Kings to get going offensively as well. Sacramento had a 127 offensive rating in the first quarter, which was enough only for a six-point lead. The Hawks did score pretty well in the first half, which we'll talk about here in a second, but that first quarter was kind of the way it was. The Kings did go on an 8-0 run across the end of the first and the beginning of the second quarter in this game, and that was their first taste of a pull-away effort. The Hawks did come back from there, though, but Atlanta, the turnovers, I think the turnovers were at their worst in the first few minutes of the second quarter. The Hawks had 11 turnovers in the first 14 minutes and 16 points allowed off of those. It only got worse from there, but Trae Young and Torian Prince had 8 of the first 11, and Trae Young had 5 in the first 10 minutes of this game. That's pretty ugly. The Hawks got down by 13. They did come back, though, late in the half with a 14-4 run, got back within 1. The Kings did close with the last 4 points, but Atlanta was within 5 at the half, and honestly, that felt like a huge gift considering how badly the Hawks had played at various points in that first half. The Hawks did shoot the ball extremely well to sort of stay engaged in the first half. Atlanta shot 62% from the floor and 45% from three, and were still losing by 5 at the half because of the turnovers and the fact that the Kings had a great offensive performance in their own right. But the Hawks had a 70.4% true shooting, which is absolutely out of this world, and were losing at the half. It was probably a bad omen of things to come, and obviously that ended up being the case. In the third quarter was sort of the deciding period in this game. The Kings scored 46 points to only 23 from the Hawks, so they doubled them up in the third. Sacramento had a 14-0 run early in the third to go up by 18 points. They scored 22 points in the first 5 minutes and kept rolling from there. The league eventually got up to 29 in that third quarter. And by that time, the game was basically over. There was really no chance of a real comeback after that. De'Aaron Fox had a near triple-double through three quarters. He ended up having a full-fledged triple-double in the by the end of the game. At the end of the third quarter, the damage was really done. Sacramento shot 68% from the floor in the third quarter. Atlanta shot only 7 of 24 and 1 of 7 from three with 6 turnovers in the third. And that's basically the recipe for a night-ending kind of run from the Kings. The fourth quarter was basically all garbage time. The Hawks did still allow 31 points on the way to 146. And basically, there wasn't too much to talk about in the fourth quarter aside from some nice moments from Tyler Dorsey and Jeremy Lin, but that was kind of it. So with that said, all the numbers, big picture style here on the podcast, a 129.3 offensive rating for the Kings. That is awful defense, obviously, by any level. Sacramento shot 54% from the floor and 40% from three. They only had 14 turnovers, which isn't a terribly impressive number, but you know, De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield did whatever they wanted to all night long. Fox had had his first triple-double of his career with 31 points, 15 assists, and 10 rebounds. He was outstanding in this game. Also, Buddy Hield, who had been their best player coming into this game, 27 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and 5 threes for Buddy Hield. So the starting backcourt for Sacramento had 58 points, and that's going to kind of do you in most nights. Also, Nemanja Bjelica had 19 points as well, 18 from Marvin Bagley off the bench. They kind of had everything that you would want to have going in this game. In fact, if you remove the backup guards of Frank Mason and Yogi Ferrell, the rest of the Kings roster was 53-87 from the floor. That's going to get you beat anytime, and that was kind of the end of that. Offensively, the Hawks shot the ball, you know, reasonably well by the end of the game. They had 56% true shooting, 48% from the floor. That's nothing terribly bad to write home about, but the turnovers were really costly. 22 that led to 30 points for the Kings. Individually, we'll talk about those guys in a minute, but at the end of the day, Atlanta's offensive rating of 101.9 is pretty bad. You see the 115 points. I think the offense was pretty decent in this game, but at the end of the day, it was really kind of bad and fueled the Sacramento offense quite a bit throughout this contest. And it was a fast-paced game. Obviously, if you get to 146, it's probably going to be a fast-paced game, but Atlanta's offense was really not very good, and the defense was really bad, and that's a bad recipe, of course. Before we get to the actual individual stuff from this game, as we always do, but I do want to tell you guys about the Locked On Podcast Network. If you guys missed it yesterday, I posted sort of a stealth episode. I didn't put it on Peachtree Hoops. I didn't really publicize it too much on Twitter. I wanted to reward our subscribers a little bit, but I posted a conversation that I had with Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons. It was sort of a crossover episode, as well as some news that the Hawks had in the last couple of days. So if you want to go back and listen to that, I would definitely encourage you to do that now. If you're listening to this, it's definitely worth checking out, but that's sort of a good potential place to plug the Locked On Falcons podcast. I know a lot of Hawks fans or Falcons fans. Go ahead and subscribe to that. Aaron does a great job with that podcast. There's also Locked On Braves and other stuff from Atlanta, so check that out, as well as the entire Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On NFL, all kinds of podcasts from coast to coast. If you like a team, the safe bets that the Locked On Podcast Network is covering in that team, so go ahead and check it out. today. Find us and do all that fun stuff. Subscribe. I really appreciate that. And it's definitely appreciated. And please tell your friends as well. We definitely want to get the word out about the podcast network. So if you have a friend that's a diehard sports fan, maybe not a Hawks fan, but if they are a Hawks fan, get them on board with our podcast. But if they're not, if they're a Kings fan, if they're a Raptors fan, a Warriors fan, a Lakers fan, we have podcasts for those people too. So please tell them, spread the word. And after the short break, we'll be back and talk about the individual play in this game. Okay, we're back to talk about the individual stuff from this game. Not a ton to write home about in terms of positives. We'll actually begin with the starters in this game, sort of in reverse order as we normally do for the most part. The starters were not great in this game. Trae Young is the headliner as usual. 14 points, 10 assists. That probably seems pretty decent, honestly. And he was good. Had some nice passes in this game. Also attacked the rim a good amount in the first half, especially. I thought he played, reasonably well at times. But the 8 turnovers stick out to me. Some of the finishes were not great in the second half, but the 8 turnovers is really going to be a killer. Combined with Torian Prince, we'll talk about here in a second. Those guys combined for 12 turnovers. You just can't live like that with the guys who are trying to create a lot of your offense. But Young, the 8 turnovers does make it look a little bit worse than it probably was. I thought actually he was pretty decent for the most part, and the fact that he was attacking the rim was very, very encouraging to see, particularly in the first half when the Hawks were still engaged in the game. Kent Bazemore, 14.3 rebounds, 3 assists for Kent, had a steal and a block as well, 6-12 from the floor. His stats were the best of the starters. I didn't think he played all that well by his standards, but he wasn't the reason why the Hawks lost this game. One of those things where, obviously he got beat up a little bit by Buddy Hield. The defense was, he was not blameless. Nobody was blameless in this game. I think generally Bazemore's defensive output is a little bit higher than most on this team, but he was not without blame here, and I didn't think he played that well, but he wasn't terrible either. Alex Len had an uneven game after he was fantastic the other night in Cleveland. 11.6 rebounds for Len, had 3 turnovers, a couple of really bad hands plays. His hands are really questionable at times. Actually, only took 5 shots on the way to 11 points, but it was 7 of 10 from the free throw line. He was the one guy on the Hawks roster that really got to the line a lot, along with Jeremy Lin, I should say, who got to the line 7 times. But Len wasn't great here. The numbers make him look a little bit better than he probably was, but the rim protection was not great for Len. I didn't think he played very well. Torian Prince was another bad game for Torian. I thought he was the worst guy in the starting five in this game. Obviously, Vince Carter is sort of a different category. He's definitely more of a supporting piece, but Prince, in terms of the guys who are the mainstays in this team right now, is not playing well the last 3-4 games. 7 points, 7 rebounds, did have 6 assists and 2 steals, which probably is a nice thing to see, but 4 turnovers, and defensively he was really, really bad for the most part in this game. There were, I guess, a few signs of hope there, but defensively he really, really struggled. I asked Lloyd Pierce before the game if when his shot is not falling, Torian tends to struggle elsewhere, and Pierce talked about that a great deal. It wasn't like he was not trying to make it all about Prince. He even referenced the fact that a lot of players have that same issue where the shot's not falling, they get worse in other areas, so to speak. That's not the exact quote from Pierce, but it definitely manifested itself in this spot where Prince was 3-12 from the floor and 1-7 from 3 and just didn't do much else to help the Hawks win. The assists are nice, and he had the ball in his hands quite a bit, but the defense was really, really bad. He was inefficient, and at some point he'll wake up. I know I kind of made fun of Hawks fans a little bit. There was a couple of people that were really excited about Torian a few games ago that are now really low on him. It's kind of funny the swings that happen within the season. He isn't as good as his best looks, and he's not as bad as he has been the last 3 games. He's a solid starting level potential contributor for the Hawks moving forward, but he's been really bad the last couple of games, and that's worth noting to be sure. Vince Carter, 16 minutes. There wasn't a whole lot for Vince to do in the second half. 3 points. He got up a 3 early on. It was actually the first bucket of the game, and then didn't actually score again in this spot for Vince. He wasn't bad, but defensively, there are matchups where he just kind of gets overpowered, and we saw that a little bit on display in this game. On the bench, the best and bright spot in terms of these stats was Jeremy Lin, 23 points and 4 turnovers for Lin, but it did have an assist, a steal, and a block. He was 8 of 13 from the floor, 2 of 7 from the three-point line, 5 of 7 from the free throw line, and 23 minutes for Lin. I'm not sure he was as good as the 23 points would probably suggest. He was pretty aggressive late, which he should be. But this is now the second straight game where Lin has been a little bit better, definitely more assertive. If the Hawks can kind of get this kind of play from Lin, maybe not necessarily statistically, but one of those things where he's assertive, willing to take shots, running the offense, producing a little bit. The Hawks don't have a ton of on-ball creation, and Lin is going to be needed for that behind Trae Young and even potentially alongside Trae Young at times. And nice to see him play a little bit better here offensively, even if the defense was kind of leaving things to be desired, and obviously the 4 turnovers. He was minus 28 in the game, which is a little bit misleading, I think. Plus minus, I usually reference it when it's more misleading than when it actually is good to use. I usually want to push back on that a little bit. It can sometimes be helpful in a single game, but I think Lin wasn't as bad as that minus 28 number makes him look. And the points, he probably wasn't as good as 23 points. So somewhere in the middle, but I think Jeremy Lin played pretty well in this game for the most part. Tyler Dorsey also played well. He got in the rotation after Kevin Huerter left this game, played 17 minutes, was 10 points, 4-8 from the floor, 0-2 from 3, which is usually his calling card, but 2 rebounds and a steal. Dorsey took advantage of his time, I thought. Pierce mentioned that after the game as well. You have to be ready to go. Dorsey has not been in the rotation for most of the last couple of weeks. With that said, if Kevin Huerter misses any time, if he misses Saturday, I think Dorsey is the natural replacement for him as the backup shooting guard. They're not exactly identical players, but Dorsey does kind of bring some of that offensive punch to the table with his floor spacing. Defensively, I thought he played hard in this game. There are some weaknesses there with Dorsey always because of his size and all that stuff, but I think he played generally pretty well by his standards in this spot. Elsewhere, Bembry played well. I thought DeAndre Bembry probably was the best player in terms of his normal baseline. It was between Bembry, Poitras, and Lin for the guys who I thought actually played relatively well based on their stat lines and their potential and their normal baseline. Bembry had 13 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists in 25 minutes. He was 5-8 from the floor. Wasn't quite as good after halftime, but the first half I think it was 4-4. Had a couple of nice drives and finishes in the first half to keep the Hawks engaged. Played reasonable defense. Was minus 20, which is kind of misleading, I think. But I think Bembry played largely decent basketball. Alex Poitras was a nice bright spot. He came back here after a few games on the shelf with an injury. 9 points and 8 rebounds for Poitras in 17 minutes. I think he's probably what the Hawks need at the 4 a lot of the time. He's minus 6, and that's probably one of the better numbers that you could see from Atlanta in this game. I think Poitras just kind of brings a different element to the table. He's more of a natural 4. Mari Spellman, I think, is, I'm going to say this a lot, I know I already have, but it's more of a 5 right now. I know why the Hawks are playing him at the 4, because they want to get him on the floor, and that's I could see why that's happening, because he's a first-round pick. They want to play him, and the Hawks have two guys at center, and Dedmon and Alex Lynn, who are, NBA-quality rotation players, whereas at the 4 right now, it's basically, Vince Carter isn't anything special at this point in his career. Spellman has a path to playing time, but I think Poitras is more of a natural athletic 4 that you would see on other NBA teams, and that kind of allows him to play well in certain matchups. I thought he was pretty good here in 17 minutes. Speaking of Spellman, 2 rebounds and 3 assists and a block for Amari. It's a pretty quiet day. Didn't take a shot in the first half. Was the only guy who was scoreless in the first half that played for the Hawks out of 11, or maybe it was even 12. There was a lot of guys who played the first half, but Spellman, not necessarily terribly aggressive. I thought he was reasonable offensively. I didn't need him to take a lot of shots. Defensively, there were some real weaknesses, especially in the first half. He was pretty lazy. A couple of bad swipes at the ball. I think some of that is a little bit unfair to him in that he's playing the 4 and being asked to do things that he probably isn't capable of doing right now. But defensively, there are still nights where it's just hard to ignore some of the stuff that Spellman is not able to do or is not willing to do or not executing all that fun stuff right now on the defensive end of the floor. Dwayne Dedmon didn't play a lot in this game because he had 5 fouls in 12 minutes. I thought he played pretty well when he was out there, 6 points, 4 rebounds, but just has to stay on the court, honestly. He's the best big man for the Hawks right now in the absence of John Collins. That's pretty clear to me and others. I don't know when he'll start, but it's going to be happening in the future, I would guess. One of those things where I haven't heard Willie Pierce comment on that just yet when it comes to when the switch is going to be made, if it's going to be made at all. But for me, Dedmon's got to play more, honestly. Tonight was just foul trouble, all that stuff, but I think they need him on the floor defensively, considering all the weaknesses that they do have on the court on a regular basis. And last but not least, Miles Plumlee, pure garbage time, did not record a single stat, was actually plus 3, hilariously, in the last 5 minutes of the game, but didn't play at all. I do recommend a piece written by Jake Fisher, a good friend of mine from Sports Illustrated. He actually sat down with Plumlee and had a very interesting look at sort of his off-court life and sort of his personality. Worth a read over at Sports Illustrated. Not a ton of just pure basketball stuff, not a lot of like Hawks-driven stuff there, but I think Plumlee's an interesting character, and that was a good, well-written piece that I wanted to recommend on the podcast, considering Plumlee didn't play here. It's almost fitting that he didn't play in this game. He talked about his off-court stuff, but Plumlee's a guy who people like around the league, and Fisher did a good job of sort of painting the picture of what Plumlee is like behind the scenes. So with that said, I'll probably leave it there for today's game. It was obviously not a good result. The Hawks were 2-point underdogs, lost by 31. That kind of tells you all you need to know about this game. The Hawks are back in action on Saturday as they play host to the Miami Heat. That'll be interesting on a number of levels, considering the fact that the Hawks are now coming off of this woeful performance and now lost 4 in a row. They are 2-6, and 2-6, having played what I believe is the worst schedule in the league to this point in time. I know the Kings are playing well and they're currently in the playoff picture, but I don't think that's going to necessarily last. So for me, the Hawks have really only played one playoff caliber team through 8 games, and they have 6 losses. That's not going to be great moving forward. Miami's a team where Miami will be favored even in Atlanta. Atlanta. I expect the Hawks to play better than they did here because that's kind of a low bar to clear. But until John Collins returns, we'll see what happens with the Hawks. You know, it's not a fluke that they're losing most of the time. Honestly, they've had a couple of nice comeback wins. But for the most part, there's at least one spurt. And every single game so far for the Hawks has just been really, really bad, and you just can't live like that. I know it's, you know, some, the games where the Hawks get blown out, it lasts longer than a few minutes, but in every game, even the wins, the Hawks have had like a 5, 6, 7, 8 minute stretch where they're just like unplayably bad on both ends of the floor. And tonight it was the third quarter, pretty much the entire third quarter, but you just can't have that in the NBA against teams that you're not better at. I mean, the Hawks are similar in talent to a couple teams in the NBA, you know, 4, 5, 6 teams in the league, but if they don't play well, they're not going to win. And that's one of those spots where you could kind of live like that against certain teams like Cleveland. And the way the Hawks were able to get a win early on in the season with after falling down by a big margin early on, they kind of exploded there because Cleveland was so bad. But Sacramento, you know, played well in this game, credit to them, but the Hawks just were ghastly, honestly, in the third quarter, and that was the biggest thing at the end of the day here. So with that said, that's going to do it for today's podcast and really the entire week. We will come back on Saturday night from this probably this exact same spot as the Hawks are playing the Heat. I'll be in the building for that one. So that'll be the next podcast that we have on the agenda unless something crazy happens. So check your feed for that one. If you are subscribed, you'll get that in your feed overnight on Saturday, as well as my Twitter feed at BT Roland, as well as the Hawks. My podcast Twitter feed, the Locked On Hawks Twitter feed at Locked On Hawks on Twitter. You can find the podcast there and kind of anywhere else that you want to find podcasts, whether it be Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, iTunes, of course, peacetreehoops.com, where I'm the editor-in-chief, all those fun places. But if nothing else, please subscribe to the podcast. Check us out. We'll see everybody else on Saturday night and Sunday morning. And until then, stay tuned.